Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
In a unanimous ruling issued this morning, the Supreme Court sided with Walmart, saying that a massive sex discrimination lawsuit against the retailer cannot proceed as a class action suit. The case dates back to 2001 and could have involved payments in the billions of dollars to female employees, who claim the company offered them lower pay and fewer opportunities for advancement compared to their male coworkers. Emily Bazelon is legal affairs editor for Slate.com. And Emily, explain the significance of this ruling.
Well, first of all, we just have over 1.5 million women who had sued Walmart saying that there was a systematic pattern in which women were not being promoted in the same way that men were. So this ruling unravels their effort to sue as this huge, giant group altogether. And then more broadly, it will make it more difficult for other very large groups of employees to try and protest what they see as unjust conditions.
This is the first ruling on class action in over a decade, and corporations have long argued for limits on class action lawsuits. What does this ruling do? As you say, it unravels it a bit, but how?
Well, there are two parts to it. One part, which everybody on the court agreed to, was that these women couldn't sue all together like this for back pay, and the reason was that their back pay claim really kind of overwhelmed the rest of the lawsuit, and so this way of bringing a class action is not available to these women. Then there's a real 5-4 split over how you get to be a class. And, you know, what we're talking about is how people pool together to bring lawsuits. Because if you have everybody sue individually, then often you can't make the lawsuit an attractive one for lawyers to bring. So here we have this split where Justice Scalia, for the 5 more conservative members of the court, says, look, these women were all over the place in the company. There isn't enough in common in the issues they were having. Whereas the dissenters, who are led by Justice Ginsburg, say, wait a second, probably the women do have enough in common for the kind of basic threshold of a class. And you're really asking this more complicated question later on about whether the commonalities predominate in the class. And that's an inquiry that's not actually before us, and we should send this back to the lower courts for them to sort out that question.
Well, the women argue, of course it's a big class action lawsuit. It's against the nation's largest employer. So how can any class action lawsuit go forward after this ruling? Because aren't the plaintiffs' complaints always slightly different from one another? I mean, you think of the big class action lawsuits depicted in movies such as Civil Action and Aaron Brockovich, both against companies for pollution. What does this mean for cases such as these?
Well, that's a really good question. And, you know, often with big Supreme Court rulings like this, they're fairly abstract. And so then the real nitty-gritty of how they affect other kinds of groups will be played out in the lower courts over time. But I think what the 5 members of the conservative majority are making clear is that if you have employees or just, you know, different kinds of plaintiffs situated all over a different company in this way that you can't show at the beginning of the litigation that they all were subject to the same kind of discrimination, then you don't have a lawsuit. I mean, what Scalia says is the question isn't whether everybody you may have suffered from the same violation of a legal provision. It's whether they suffered in the same way. And that is really can be very difficult for plaintiffs to show, particularly at this very early stage of a lawsuit. Because remember, all of this fighting over suing as a class happens before you get to do discovery, before there's evidence, before we get to anything like a trial. This is a very preliminary question that the courts are struggling with.
And the court, as you say, was not ruling on whether gender discrimination occurred at Walmart, never got to that point. But how will this ruling affect gender discrimination lawsuits?
They'll be harder to bring. And I think you can see a real division among the justices about how they interpreted the preliminary evidence that these women put forward. So Justice Ginsburg wanted these women to at least be able to get to the next stage of having courts ask the next question about whether their common harm predominated in this lawsuit. Whereas for the conservatives on the court, there just didn't seem to them to be compelling social science showing that Walmart was doing something systematic that was causing this disparity in women being promoted.
Well, can the women who brought this lawsuit still pursue their cases?
Yes, they can certainly sue individually. They can go back to square one. But remember, the same problems of cost of bringing the lawsuit, how attractive it is to lawyers, how we deal with mass injustices where everyone's harm is a small individual harm that adds up to a much bigger whole. That's sort of the question here that will be remaining. And, you know, one question for this suit will be if it now settles, and settles for a far lower price, obviously, than Walmart would have had to pay if these women had been able to get their class certified before the Supreme Court.
Emily Bazelon is legal affairs editor for Slate.com. Thank you, Emily.
Thanks for having me.